Podcast, episode 301, Saverin's Fat Fennecock.
I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf, man.
And I'm Shiva, not nearly as interesting.
And welcome to Notcast. This is episode 301, as the robot voice told you. And it has been a couple weeks since we last recorded. We have all survived Thanksgiving.
It has happened.
It has happened, and we are now the weekend before MFF.
Yep.
None of us are going to be at.
Well, because we're recording.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you mean you're not going to just start driving? I mean, it's...
While we're recording, you're just holding the microphone.
Yep. Recording a podcast
on the road. Oh, we should record and stream from the road as we're going over bumps and shit.
People like doing Mixlr, Periscope from the road.
Hi, I'm driving.
I'm driving poorly, but I'm driving.
Well, like Jeff Gerstmann does Daily Mixlr, which is like it broadcasts out and it's quiet. It's audio only. And so like he just does that on his drive to and from. It's the mute button. You figured it out. Yay! Okay, good.
The keyboard on the iPad is the same as a keyboard on a Mac, so it has the same symbols.
It's Mac's training wheels.
Follow the money.
Yes.
iPad is your gateway drug to Macs.
Yep.
Yeah, it's Control-Command-C for chemtrails.
Yep.
I figured it out. Just fucking pours out of the headphone jack.
Yep. And stuff. So, yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving came and went. We had like four different Thanksgiving meals. Only had distant relatives get vaguely racist at one of them. And
four different meals?
Well, wow. So we had my parents on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Then we had Panther's dad and stepmom. Then his mom and stepdad. And then his extended family on his dad's side on Thanksgiving proper. So, yes, four different Thanksgiving dinners across two different days.
That's a lot of turkey.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I still managed to lose weight over the weekend.
And then in a tryptophan coma for, like, a week.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, it was fun.
Mm.
And, yeah, only, like... Who the hell are you and why are you going off about... Oh, okay. And it was really funny because, like, everybody was, like, excusing themselves from the table and wandering off while this person was going on about their bullshit. And no one was like, Aunt so-and-so, you're a stupid bitch. Shut up.
I heard them Mexicans are making babies out of plastic explosive and then slipping them over the border.
They shove them up inside their cooters and they crap them out and they're citizens! Anchor bomb babies.
literal Fox News.
Yep. Terrorism. Yep. Be afraid.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
The scourge of red foxes. Be aware.
Wait a minute. Aren't fennecs from the desert?
I hear them fennecs are from Africa. Where's their birth certificate?
I hear them down there blessing the rains and...
talking about Kilimanjaro.
Other things that people do in Africa. I masturbate down in Africa.
Might as well, right? So,
well,
yeah.
There was no water, so I made some.
How was...
It worked for Anubis. Motherfucker starting to Nile and shit, man. Fucking fertile.
Yeah. Hey, Shiva, how was your Thanksgiving?
Busy. We had to do Sarah's parents to start with, and then we headed over to the Friendsgiving big hootenanny that
that is such Guardian a great word. On.
Yeah.
Hootenanny?
We don't use the word hootenanny nearly enough. No. In fact, I propose that Furry Fiesta 2017's theme be hootenanny and let people figure that out.
Let us appropriate the shit out of redneck culture.
Appropriate in white culture. Yeah. Jedar will serve moonshine in the consulate.
And moon pies.
And moon pies.
Moonshine and moon pies. That would be a heck of a combo.
Call it our moon combo.
Full moon.
Moonbo?
The full moon.
The
eat too much, you get a moob.
Yeah. Don't do that, kids.
So my Thanksgiving was awesome. Glad you asked.
I did try to ask.
You did, yes, but I was
being horrible.
I was saying something about something. I don't know.
Words,
yeah.
Something about Anubis?
Oh, yeah. See, now you got me started on Anubis.
Anubis fucked a rock and the Nile came out, apparently.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't think he fucked a rock. I thought he just jerked off.
Fuck if I know, dude. Didn't he, like, jerk off and feed his cum to his brother at one point?
Who knows? It was the olden days.
Yeah, you know.
I'm pretty sure I read an FA about that.
You know.
Egyptian mythology, yo. Read up on it.
Wincest. Anyway, speaking of which, the Anubis Dark Desires Kickstarter packets have started being mailed out. I haven't got mine yet because I wanted to. They're sending out the simple ones that are just the book in a box and go. But I've got like the jersey and the T-shirt and shit like that.
Nice.
But so I think Soap Wolf's going to have some at Midwest this weekend.
I mean, you have like one of the original pages.
Yeah, you know, I've actually got two. I found which I totally forgot the other one. I've got one of the straight one that Terry Smith did as well.
Oh.
So I've got a page from that, and I don't remember what issue that was. It might have been 4. And then I've got the one of Chester.
Yeah.
It was actually 3 because the scene of Chester being licked by the camel is the last page of that comic. It's the clean one. So
yeah,
I've had that.
It's the back page.
Yeah, I've had that out in public areas.
The funny thing about you and games, so the Kickstarter of Room Party.
Yes.
I actually played it for the first time on Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And I waited all game for the Fur Planet card to come out.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, we got to the end, and finally Cyan's like, fuck, I can't play these cards. I don't have any booze. And he's had in his hand from the very first pull the Fur Planet card. And he's been waiting to play it. It's like,
but you can't play to dealers if you don't have booze at your party.
Yes. So he's been holding on to it because he wanted to play it, but he never was able to get any booze.
That's so fun. I love that. It's so surreal. Like, the couple times we played it at a con, so just like, it's so weird playing a game that has my character on the card.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm going to play myself.
Boom. It's funny because, like, if the booze gets taken out of one of the parties, the dealers go to the lobby. With the other cards that are not discarded, but they're in the lobby,
so you're
later cards
milling around.
You can pull from the lobby, and then you can get the dealers back if you have the booze.
Yeah.
We're chilling out. We're waiting for a room party to open up, but
as it goes for dealers, really,
pretty much. Yeah. In the evening, we're just like, "Where's the booze?
Where's the room party?"
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where it's like, whenever I stay at a hotel, I'm like, "Where's the room parties?" Like, this is a boring normie hotel. So after
like you're just at a hotel for no particular reason for a road trip and you're like, it's Thursday and you're like, why aren't there any room parties?
Kind of, you know. Well, it's one of those things. So my Thanksgiving weekend was we got home real like 7 or 8 o'clock. I went to bed at 9 a.m woke up at 4 a.m drove to Belton, Texas. And I was Santa's elf for the weekend. So my dad, white beard, white hair, got himself a Santa suit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were doing Santa photos at a craft show in Belton, Texas over the weekend.
He's a professional Santa cosplayer.
That is true. We sold quite a good number, like more than 3 dozen photos.
It's pretty awesome.
But they needed somebody with stage light, studio lights, and a camera, and a computer, a laptop to do it. So I got involved, and so I was staying down there in Belton because it's 3 hours away from here. I'm not gonna fucking round trip that shit.
Yeah.
And that was one of those thoughts I had. I was like, man, I wonder if there's any room parties. Oh, I'm not at a con. Never mind.
Yeah, I guess you just gotta take for granted that con atmosphere after a while.
Yeah. Well, my parents are not exactly the most exciting people. Mm-hmm. They like watching. Yeah. They watch like Discovery Channel and shit like that. So I had my laptop and could play video games and whatever. And they did have internet, so that was all right. But it's one of those things where it's like it's late night at a con and you can't like call up a dude and be like, "Yo, let's go roll down to thing." It's like, shit, I'm in rural ass Texas.
So really... You just sniffed some glue and went to bed.
Yeah. I mean, it's in Temple. It's north of, or Belton's south of Temple, and Temple has 70,000 people in it. So they've got they've got a little mall.
Small to mid-sized town.
And they've got shopping and stuff. I mean, it's not like middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had a decent arcade at the mall. And by decent, I mean all their shit was old, but they had good old
games. Yeah, you posted pictures of it on Twitter. Yeah, I actually thought it was kind of cool.
It was a little mall in Temple, Texas. They had like... two DDR Extreme machines. They had some, like, SVC Chaos, which was, like, 2003.
Oh.
They had a couple of, like, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. They had Carnival, the light gun shooter.
Oh, I remember
the
that
shotgun.
One. Yeah.
Where you shot clowns and shit.
Yeah.
It was, like, all these classic games that I remember. They had Sega Rally 1995. Fuck. They had a 20-year-old arcade racing game.
That's awesome.
It still looked pretty decent, all things considered.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things where, I mean, this is an arcade that stayed open in this little mall. They've never had to really upgrade their shit, but it's still doing all right.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is an arcade from when I was going to arcades, and arcades still existed in malls. How weird.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I did not expect that, but we stopped for dinner after the show on one night, and they have a Cotton Patch in their mall, the Cotton Patch Cafe. It's like Black Eyed Pea, kind of like that. It's just American food. And my dad was like, "I want to check out that mall, Santa. I want to get eyes on, see what he looks like." And he was like,
"Got it at a competition."
He's like, "He looks tired."
Well, I can take him.
Well, it was one of those things, right? Where so charge $10 for a photo with Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the kid wants to just do the whole talk with Santa, cool. If the parents want to take a photo, sell their cell phone, we don't care. But if the mall Santa, you can't take a photo with your own camera or your cell phone. And the cheapest you'll get at is $22.
Yeah.
Or 2 4x6s or whatever. And the Santa looked just worn out. But you have to consider, right, if people are bringing their kids to this craft show, you have to pay to get in.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know it's there. Mm-hmm. And the people that are going to bring their kids are going to probably be a little more civilized than your average, hey, let's get out of the house, go to the mall kind of
thing. Right.
So it's like a completely different demographic.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you're a mall Santa, you've got to deal with every little shit that comes by. And at this one, it's like kind of have more freedom to, you know, if the kid's scared of you, then don't force it, you know?
Yeah.
Because there were some kids that were like, nope, oh, God, this guy's terrifying. And then there was kids like, oh, my God, Santa. And they'd run up and give him a hug.
Yeah.
I mean, it just runs the full range of kid reactions.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to predict that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, you don't push it too hard. But it was a fun experience.
Speaking of Santa, you should totally get your dad a copy of that old episode of This American Life where they do a story about the Santa community. There's like Santa conventions, and there's drama within the Santa convention community, and so and so is running for president of like the Santa Association. Club. Yeah, yeah. It's actually a really fascinating look into a community that we're not a part of.
Yeah, I mean, and it makes sense. I mean, any
little niche
makes
thing.
An in group. There's going to be out group and there's going to be drama.
Yeah.
I mean, in anything, I mean, brony community, oh, Jesus, it's 5 days past the end of the season. We're already in full out war mode.
It's like everyone's pissing on each other and the piss itself is on fire. Yeah.
Gasoline.
Yes. From the outside looking in, that is what the brony community looks like to me.
Angry people pissing on each other except they're pissing fire.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of it.
And lobbing horse cocks at
each
other. It
just makes you kind of be like, scoot back from the table, walk off.
Yes.
It's one of those things where it's like, hey, end of the season, we're going to do, you know, pony podcasts whenever. And then, like, we get show guests, like, immediately after. Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll do another Pony podcast.
You're like, man, I
thought we were free.
I was looking forward to not giving a shit about this for a while.
Well, we got a guest that we got in 2 weeks that took another show 6 months to get because of Reputation. So,
That horse cock. Whap
that shit on the table.
I hope that. Yeah, that spike. Look at that spike. Yeah, that's your horse cock. So on another note, you got a Blue Yeti recently, and I love that they actually have little cartoon Yetis drawn all over the box.
Yep, they got audio Yetis, screaming Yetis, looks like yoga Yetis, a businessman Yeti, a singer Yeti. So I got a Logitech G430 headset, and it's good for doing team-based games where you're doing voiceover IP and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the mic for, like, doing shit is shit. Like, if I did my playthrough of Undertale, and I'm still, like, it finishes up here and lasts a little bit. And I did a little silly voiceover for all the characters, and I narrated everything. But it doesn't sound that good. And it's disappointing because of that. Because I enjoyed the game a lot, but it could have been a lot better. And it's just a limitation of the mic. And so, like, the headset does its job for certain things. But if I'm going to do, like, serious, like, commentary, let's play, bullshit like that, I'm going to need a better mic. And the Yeti's kind of the gold standard. Most of the big streamers I see use them because, you know, the headsets on these Logitech things aren't so hot. And I have my nice podcast setup, which we're using in OS X. OS X, but FireWire support in Windows 10 is shit to non-existent, as happened in episode 300, where the driver just died partway through and had to restart the computer.
That's something we're going to have to find a workaround for if we want to do another interview.
Panther was saying that they've updated the FA66's drivers, because I had to use like the Windows 8 legacy driver initially, but apparently he was saying that they've released a Windows 10 driver for it. So hopefully, I haven't had the chance to do that. I've been fucking fighting with Skyrim for the last 2 days. I've learned to compulsively quick save because I had a couple times where like the game will crash on transition. It's like I've gone through a mine and mined out everything. You have like a 10-second animation every time you hit a mining node.
Yeah.
And like just because I want to go and get the iron, not that I'm really doing anything with it, but it's like, I gotta get it, you know.
And Iron Man.
And then you go to leave, and it saves on transition, except it crashed on the transition, so all the work you did mining all that shit up is lost, and it spits you out just inside the cave once you load back in. It's like,
redo everything.
And I'm like, no, I just turn around and say, fuck it, don't. So it's just 'cause it's just so frustrating. I mean, it's a fun game, but God, it's been a frustrating experience. Because I wanted to like just do some streaming with it, run around Skyrim, be a stealth archer, you know, be a goofy looking dude. But I don't think I'm gonna be able to do that at the rate it's going unless I figure out how to make it stable. But Blue Yeti microphones are good. Just bringing it back around.
Yeah, save 10% off at blue.com with coupon code NOT. Yeah.
No, not really.
Wait, no, not
yeah,
really.
They. But the
Yeti not.
They're normally like $150. This was $85, and it went actually got another one.
Nice, that's like half price.
The silver one went down to $75.
I noticed the snowball, the lesser snowball that doesn't do the omnidirectional. It's just a
single mic. Yeah, that went down to like
$35 on Amazon on Black Friday.
Yeah. But
which I didn't need because I already had the other one, but that was a pretty good price.
That was cool. I mean, a couple of dudes I knew picked them up. But I have so much weird audio shit, really. It's like, so I've got, like, my standing recording little mini booth thing there, and I've got this set up here, and I've got my headset over there, and now I've got a fucking Blue Yeti. So it's like I have a different setup for any – all the different situations.
And how many interfaces do you have?
A lot. One, two, a bunch. A bunch.
A bunch plus two.
So FedEx can count to a bunch. One, two, a bunch.
Yeah.
I just imagine them looking at their little fluffy paw like one, two, a bunch. much.
Yep. Got to keep them pop heads trimmed. That would be interesting if somebody draw that, though. It's like a Finnick that has, like, the big, the furry paws.
Oh, and, like, it's left over from evolution, so the Anthro Finnick. Yeah, so
they have to, like, shave their paw pads.
So that they can, like, handle modern-day stuff.
Like, we're great at climbing ropes and shit, but god dang it. They just have to, like, run the little, like,
the shaver beard trimmer over
their hand. Yeah. they have a paw trimmer.
I didn't know their paw pads were that fuzzy.
They are very fuzzy.
Yeah, I saw that picture on Twitter. It's so adorable. It's
a little finickling on its back, and it's got hair for days between its paw pads.
Yeah.
Probably protect it from hot sand.
And helps them get traction.
Yeah. Oh, evolution is awesome.
Well, I mean, in Kyle's universe, they don't wear shoes, so they would be very good at running. So he needs to introduce a Finnick football character.
Except he gets squished in like the first.
Yeah, that'd be true.
Yeah. Oh, Fennec soccer player would probably be pretty
there
awesome.
We go.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening, Kyle. We're giving you ideas.
Yeah, less tackling, but a lot of like running and quick turn grippy. Maneuverability.
You know, you wouldn't want to play like equines play that because their hooves aren't grippy, but
yeah.
You know, Fennec would be OP.
You know, and tennis too. I mean, they're a little short, but like with the running back and forth and everything.
Yeah, they've got lots of energy. You see how those little guys can move. Yeah.
See this fucking furry world building we're doing here?
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to text Kyle and be like, dude, Fennec soccer player, get on it.
Like, join his Patreon and like suggest shit for him to write. Oh, is that Charger?
Just be like, hey, that'd be cute.
I'm almost dead.
Write a short story.
I thought it was like, you know, like an IED or something. You were going to
what?
Take us out, you know.
What?
Scream Admiral Akbar. And, you know.
Admiral.
Thanks, Fuzz. Keeping it classy.
Oh, of course.
It's not a trap.
Yeah, speaking of, I'm now like halfway through reading the last Adaposition book for him. We're still on track to have that simultaneous release at FC.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a good book so far. Shit's going down. Shit's happening. But I'm not going to tell you.
Everybody has AIDS, right?
Everyone's got AIDS. Da, 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 da.
AIDS, there's AIDS. A musical break in the middle of the book.
Yep.
He's written a song.
He just reprised the... Lee's like, hey, I know how to break the news to the team. There's this musical I was involved in my high school days. Team America, World Police. That was in the play called Lease.
So totally do that at halftime of the big game.
Yep. Everyone's got AIDS. Da, 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 da. AIDS, AIDS, AIDS.
And there's that clunk as Dev's jaw hits the floor.
Keeping it classy, as always.
Should we read an email?
We should read some emails. We have quite a few. And now I do want to let people know this is going to be the last episode until middle of January at this point. So
yeah,
we'll put it out there that we're going to answer all these emails today. Because, I mean, seriously, any questions?
We had intended to do episode 301 a week after 300. And then we were sick and shit happened.
Yeah.
And blah. So we wanted to do this one last one before we take our little winter holiday break here. Yeah.
God. So, like, if we pause until mid-January and my other show goes on, like, intermittent hiatus, there may be weekends where I don't do podcasts. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Fuck. I'm going to show up on other people's shows and be like, all right, I don't know what this is about, but I'm going to talk.
I can make shit up.
Oh, this is a politics podcast? Which side? Okay, let me go to, you know, pick website here. It's like, oh, should I go to poll? On 4chan? Okay, let's talk. Oh, Jesus. All right, let's talk some points here. Yeah. Why, yes, the Jews did do that. The white man is the devil.
That's right, cracker.
That's right.
Cracker fooey.
All right, so we have this one.
So how far back do we
want to go? Well, the one I have that we didn't look at was titled Podcasting Advice from 11-10-15.
Okay, because there was a couple that we did not have a chance to read on 300.
Shiro, who gave us a wave that we can stick in.
Which we still haven't listened to yet. Sorry, Shiro.
Yeah, we So let's read that one. It's like, congratulations on your tricentennial. Hey, Notcasters. Congratulations on a 300th episode. Woo! Look forward to making more of these X-100 episode clips. Recording is fun. Here's another 100 from Shiru. And he included a wave that will be playing after this.
Hello, Saverin, Shiva, Fuzzwolf. Congratulations on your tricentennial podcast. I suppose that's an accomplishment. If you squint really, really hard. I'm not going to, but you can. And congratulations, Saverin, on your generous weight loss. Thanks to this, you now qualify to register as an official Aperture Science test subject. Hooray! Don't worry about the paperwork. We filled it in and forged your signature for you, so you can start testing right away. An unmarked Aperture Science fun van will be deployed to pick you up in the morning. And an Aperture Science testing motivator will make sure you get to the facility on time. As for you, Shiva, Fuzzwolf, you're in luck. We've recently had an opening for a plus-size testing initiative clear-up, and you're both welcome to join Saverin to the testing facility. In fact, volunteer participation is mandatory. See you all really, really soon. And congratulations on the podcast, I guess.
Thank you for that enlightening wave.
Very non-committal. Thank you.
That was a thing. Thank you, sir. So,
podcasting advice. Hey there, knotheads. That almost sounds insulting. Only if you're a Klingon. That's an insult. I'm working on crowdfunding the start of my own music podcast and blog soon, and was wondering if you had any advice on running a podcast, building an audience, maintaining a crowdfunding campaign, and whatever else might be relevant. Some of my main questions right now are listed below. If I'm the only host of the show, should I still make dedicated social media accounts for the project? Considering my show mostly consists of playing music with some talk in between, and I'm earning money through Kickstarter and Patreon, how much is copyright a concern? More for Saverin. I need a new mic. God, this is kind of funny. Got any recommendations? Around $100. Something that can survive the outdoors would be nice, too, for interviews, but it's not a necessity. I'm sure I've got a million more questions if I dig through my notes, but I don't want to take up the whole show with this. If you're interested, send me an email in response, and I could follow up with more. Thanks, Axel Wolf. P.S. I'm in Arlington. Why don't I ever run into you guys? Do you go to any of the local meets? And then he provides his email.
We throw our own meat. It's called Furry Fiesta. I've been up out to AFM a couple times, not very often. But
I haven't been to a fur meet in quite a long time, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't go to a lot of meets, I'm afraid.
Nor do I. I just don't have time.
My weekends are pretty taken up.
Yeah, if Saturdays, I'm not working on my own shit, then I'm just sort of crying in the shower with a cookie.
Not to sound like an old fogey or anything, but we also have a fairly large social circle, and it's usually somebody is doing something in that social circle on any given weekend, so...
Yeah. Well, yeah. If I'm, like... I have a Sunday night get together and I have a Saturday night podcast usually. Yeah. So it's like my days are pretty much taken. So it's like my weekends are pretty busy. During the day I can do shit, except when they're not being taken up by other things. Mm-hmm. Like this coming Saturday, I'll be in Weatherford, Texas from noon to 5 helping my dad do Santa photos again. So come up to Weatherford Trade Days, say hi, get a photo with Santa, shake my hand, high five me, give me money,
have a doorknob autographed.
I would sign a doorknob, funnily enough. Actually, so the doorknob cane that I have right here behind me, that either somebody at this show that was also selling doorknob canes.
Oh,
they were different, but they were, you know, the old glass doorknob on a cane thing. I was like,
yeah, nice. You should have bought us all one, and then we could, like, go big pimping when we go to a con together.
Like, the Notcast scepter. It was funny because somebody at my con was like, is that That Kane?
Mm.
Yes. Dude. Yeah? Like, I got it, and it's functional. Of course I'm going to use it.
It's that.
That's awesome. Like, can I get a picture with the cane? Can I get its autograph?
Yeah. So
let's go on to some of the other ones. So the mic, now we were just talking about that you really like, the Yeti. That would not really be good for running around outdoors getting on the spot interviews.
Yeah, but if you're hooking up to your laptop, bringing it around, it should be fine.
Yeah. It's mics, pretty compact. So.
Yeah, most mics you don't want to be like out in the rain or whatever. But for sitting it like on a park bench or whatever while you're talking to a dude.
Like Forrest Gump and shit.
A lot of shrimp. The Blue Yeti is pretty good.
Life's like a box of chocolates.
Right about $100.
All the answers are printed on the inside of the box.
As long as things stay in where they're supposed to go.
That's right.
Because if some fucker's been mean, they swap out the coconut cream with the pecan cluster and things get
sometimes
weird.
People like to move
I
outside.
I like the coconut cream.
They're predetermined like little squares. We can't let them do that because it messes up the social order. Hail Satan.
What the fuck?
Thanks, Fuzz. Now, about your... Okay, so... building an audience, maintaining crowdfunding campaign, etc. So, should you make a dedicated social media account for the project? Yes. You should pimp the hell out of that. Make sure that you post relevant to that thing to that thing.
Right. And I'll give you an example from my life right quick. Like, on my personal Twitter account, I am myself, and I talk to people, and I post the occasional dirty jokes, and I post writing-related stuff, and I post just the general bullshit like, whoa, my piss was blue this morning. How about that? Anyway, if you want to know about books and sales and shit on Fur Planet, but you don't want all of the other associated bullshit that is me, you can just follow the Fur Planet account.
Yep.
And I will post about sales and new releases and occasional book-related stuff on there.
And when you have ebook stuff, you post to your Bad Dog Books account.
Right, and I do retweet those frequently to my primary accounts. People that are following the Fuzzwolf account will still see that.
Yeah,
but you know, if you're not personally like interested in me as a person, and I don't see why you would be, you can follow the book accounts, and you get the business aspect of mm-hmm. of Fur Planet.
So, and to contrast that, I kind of fucked it up. So I have two Twitter accounts: my furry account and my pony related account.
Right.
And a pony-related account is way bigger than my furry-related account. And originally, I was just, you know, keeping it, oh, it's only pony, only this, only that. Then over time, it kind of became my regular-ass Twitter account.
Yeah.
So now I've got two separate groups of people following two separate accounts, and I can't fucking merge that shit without shutting one down and then losing a chunk of folks.
Mm.
So it's one of those things where it's like, if you're going to separate things out, make sure you keep it separate and don't let your secondary – well, yeah, don't let your like non-related bullshit creep into what needs to be a professional account.
So don't let your peas and potatoes touch.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to playing music in Kickstarter and Patreon, that's a sticky wicket. Make sure you're doing stuff that is – I mean, you're producing this shit for free, and you've got a Kickstarter or Patreon. Now, Kickstarter, I don't know about that, really. Like, you're going to have to produce your own shit.
Okay, if you're playing somebody else's music, no matter how you do it, yes, copyright is a concern.
Yeah, you got to make sure you have the rights to do it. Otherwise, you're asking to get in trouble.
I would recommend – there's a couple of folks that I would recommend for this. Potaroo, sometimes pronounced Potaroo on Twitter – it's Potroo. He's the conchair of Feral. So he's a Canadian furry. But he also does, or at least did, social media for like either a record label or it was a radio station, I think, for a living.
Yeah.
And he's also done some podcasts on the subject. And he actually did a furry-specific music podcast there that I was going to try to look up the name of. I've totally forgotten. But working in the biz and doing podcasts on the subject, he actually is someone that actually knows about this shit. So I would totally check him out. Follow that username that I just spelled out on Twitter. And, you know, maybe just give him a shout and be like, hey, can I ask you some things? He used to work for a company called Dale Speaking. He's no longer there now. I think he's doing his own thing independently, for a business now. But yeah. He does, and he even does a podcast about podcasting.
Very meta.
Which seems a little meta, but probably has a lot of good information on it. There's one called, I don't know if he's personally involved in all these or if it's something that he's working on the back end, but there's a show called The Audacity to Podcast.
Cool.
And there's another one called 99% Invisible, which is about it's about matters in the world and stuff like that. But I would say he would be a real good expert to talk to.
Like, whenever we would do...
we would do PodSafe music.
Yeah, PodSafe music, stuff that's Creative Commons,
or non-commercial. At least in the fandom, we can go directly to some of the musicians and ask them, can we use their music? That's how we've played... We've played Matthew Ebel, Pepper Coyote, Sublevel 3, and all those people, because we're either friends with them or we asked directly and they were cool with it. So.
Yeah, that's a much stickier wicket. What else? That's really, I think that hits everything that he listed here. Feel free to drop us further lines. You have a million more questions, but
yeah, I think definitely go ahead and follow up with Potteroo and maybe Matthew Ebel also, because he did some podcasts, High Orbit podcasts, before he got as heavily into his music. I mean, he was doing his music at the time, but
yeah, I mean,
he just hasn't have time to do High Orbit now. But High Orbit was pretty good. Played a lot of PodSafe music, and he had like a couple folks actually would send him CDs to review. And they would play the songs and discuss it over. That's how I found out about Ben Godwin, who did the sort of like modern kind of jazz album, which was really good. I found that on Ebel's podcast.
That's cool.
Little things like that. So he might be another good source of information.
So, Shiva, it's your turn.
I've got one up if you want me to go ahead. There you go.
Which one is it? This one. Yeah, okay. Hi, guys. It's been a while since I remember hearing you answer any sexually explicit questions on the podcast. So if you don't answer those anymore, just ignore this message. We do. Don't worry. We're still that
Tell
way.
Tell us about your dick.
If
In this
not,
case, it's about cum.
If not, I hope you can help me out with an answer. I'm a male, and so is my boyfriend. Sometimes when we have sex, it will come to an end without my boyfriend having cum. To me, this would seem like a wasted effort. I can't really imagine to have sex without an orgasm, but he seems not to mind. Is this normal for some people? Answer is yes. As a woman, I've had quite a few encounters where I did not orgasm, and I still enjoyed myself thoroughly. And I've been with male partners where, in the end, they didn't get off, and they were kind of okay with it. I mean, not every act has to end in a flash bang. I mean, it can be fun just enjoying the ride. The end doesn't necessarily have to matter. If he had fun, he had fun. You know, take his word for it.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't mind, then, you know, but maybe you can give him a reach around. Come on. Help a dude out.
Sometimes it's fun just to hold hands. And by holding hands, I mean wrapping my hand around your prostate.
And squeezing gently.
That seems like quite a dangerous proposition.
You wear them like a glove, and you grease yourself up real good. Then you reach up there and get a firm grip.
Wiggle them around like they're a hand puppet.
But yeah, if you've come and he is, or like you're done and he hasn't come, but he's not like
pushing it.
Yeah, it's like you know.
And sometimes you just get tired and sore and worn out, and you're kind of...
You're like, yo, I'm good. And you kind of have the afterglow, the feeling of, well, having been fucked, and then you just go with that, you know.
And, like, some of the people I know who are bottoms, they get off on the act of bottoming, and they don't need to orgasm. The kind of the event of being receiving is what they're after. So,
or, I mean, even, like, a helping hand to finish up after the top has come. And then, you know, it's like I very rarely, if ever, have come from being fucked. But, you know, a little handy afterwards, you know, feels pretty good.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes, like, I mean, especially for, like, a long-term relationship, like, there are sometimes times we will just take care of each other and not necessarily need a reciprocation at that time. It's like, you know, if I'm not really, like, in the mood or feeling particularly horny myself, but Tieran's horny, you know, I'll suck him off and then go back to what I was doing. And I don't necessarily need to come right then and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like sort of a thing you do, like, you know, hey, honey, can you get this itch on my back? Hey, honey, can you suck my cock? I mean, you know, it's all the exact same thing. And that's what I tell the Mormons when they visit. So I'm going to read an email now. So this was a happy 300 one, which I don't know if we read. I don't think we read. Okay, so happy 300 is the subject line. Hi, Notcast. Congrats on making it to episode 300. Thank you for all the laughs, advice, relationship calculus, and sexist speech I find over the years. Keep on doing what you're doing, and I hope to meet all of you next year at TFF. Cassidy.
Yay, I hope Cass can come.
As a side note, while I know Saverin does a great sexy voice, I want to hear Shiva read something in a sexy voice. Better yet, read a story together. Hopefully you two can do it without busting up laughing.
Oh, good luck on that.
Let's find a fanfic.
Yeah. Oh, you don't have to do it right now. But, you know, like maybe for like episode 350, you guys can do like an audiobook reading together or something. So Saverin will be back around to you.
Yep. Dear Notcast crew. At what point do you no longer have to kiss ass to get gig/show/parents, but have people kiss your ass for a gig/show/parents? Sincerely, he who explodes into shinies.
When we get to that point, we'll let you know, but...
Not only that, but you... In the entertainment game, you cannot just coast. You've always got to be out there, putting your shit out there.
Mm-hmm. Always got to produce new content.
Yeah, it's like, I can't stop... Like, now that I've done, like, I'm doing YouTube and I've over, like, 300 videos or whatever, I can't stop doing videos and then pick it up months later and expect to still have viewers, right?
Yeah.
Once you have to put yourself out there all the goddamn time to have content so people watch it, people enjoy it. And, like, it doesn't matter if you're a fandom DJ or an artist or anything. Like, you get to a point where you'll have a demand for your time and your appearance and whatever, but you still got to be putting yourself out there so that you don't, like, you fail. Don't become passé. Mm-hmm.
You can't be like Al Bundy and be reliving the high school high points. Once scored 4 touchdowns in a single game, you know, that kind of
thing. I threw a football 110 yards, you know. You have to be out there putting yourself forward. And, you know, your star can fade, but you, as long as you're still doing that content, you'll have some base, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, for us, for this show, we've never really advertised it. We just produce the show, and we still get good viewers and downloads, and people write to us, and it's all cool. So, I mean, it's just kind of, the show's odd in that we haven't really had to put ourselves out there too much, and we've still found our audience.
Sort of self-perpetuating.
Yeah. And, you know, once you get to that point, you know, you look at these dudes on like YouTube and whatever, they've got a couple million subs, they get 200,000 views or whatever, and that's, they've got a huge listener base. But I mean, when you're smaller and you're starting out and you're like, you know, as long as you're, you know, things are performing on things, like all my audiobook stuff that I put on YouTube does fucking great. Video game content, nobody cares. So like, I'll get like 700 views on a short fic reading. With, you know, when to perform well, like 50 is good, you know, because it's like 14 views per 100 viewers, and I have like 369 subs right now. So like, if I had like 50 views, it's doing good, and I'm getting like hundreds of views, which is good because that means that's my niche and I'm finding that niche. But I still have to put it out there. I still got to post it to Reddit. Still got to send it into the various fan sites. Still got to put it into people's consciousness. If I could figure out a way to do Facebook, like find out what groups to post to, I'd do it there. And it's just like, you know, it's just, you got to put yourself out there.
If I knew what a face was.
Well, and the thing is, and this is the scary part. It is terrifying to put yourself out there all the time. Like for me, it is scary as shit. Even though we have been doing this show for how many years now? How many hundreds of episodes of shit?
Too many.
But putting my content out there to be scrutinized and judged by the masses is still scary. And so, like, I don't think that's ever going to change for me. And but you've got to do it. Because entertainment like this is constant. There is no, I mean, you'll have people that'll kiss your ass for it, but it's not going to be the way of the world. You still got to put lots of effort into it.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, I can't stop. I can't stop. Someone buy out Google. Stop this service.
Thank you, Fuzz.
Shiva, your turn to read an email. No, very good answer, Samron. Thank you.
Let's see. Oh, here it is.
I've got it zoomed up for you.
Yeah, I got the same one. Oh, okay.
I think it'd be hilarious if I put this, like, an episode of this on my YouTube channel, see what happens.
Oh, God.
It's like, this is what I do.
I don't know which. Are you reading my screen or yours?
Yes. Okay. Hi, Naughty Casters. Quick question this week. I know you all live with long-term partner spouses, but how did you feel about taking a new partner or lover back to your place when dating? My place is quite small, and while I keep it clean, I do tend to decorate with my own style in mind. By which I mean I have some erotic furry posters on the bedroom walls and other clean furry pieces framed. Should I take these down if I'm going to be taking folks home or let them find out themselves? Depends on your audience.
Fuck no, man! Fucking let that furry freak flag fly.
If you're bringing home a furry, leave it up.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. It's basically, if you bring home a furry, leave it up.
Right.
If you're bringing home a geek that may be, you know, along the same lines, or at least be okay with, like, other geeky cultures, and that's kind of up to you. If you're bringing home someone who's completely outside of...
A normie?
Human!
I'm...
Let us perform the U-box.
The last time... Christ. The last time I brought someone home to my place, it was my college dorm. Other than that, it's like me and Siam got our own place back in 1997.
Back in 1897.
1997, and I haven't really had my own place to bring people home to since. So I'm kind of outside of that demographic. I don't remember. It's been a long fucking time.
So, I mean, Tieran and I will have people over occasionally, and like, but we're so heavily involved in the furry community. All our friends are furries. All of our friends that we fuck are furries. So when they come into our bedroom and see like a bunch of fucking furry porn all over the walls,
they're not gonna blink.
It's a plus. Yeah, they're like,
oh man, I like that. Is that a print by insert artist here?
Yeah, right. And somebody was like, "Wow, stuff. You have the original of that Torin Fox picture," and I was like, "Fuck yeah, get undressed."
Get undressed and bend over. Shut your mouth. You have the ball gag.
Get a rope.
Oh my. So for me, the only person I ever really brought home to have sex with was Panther. And
he's still here.
And that was when we were both living at our respective parents'
home. He's
been
too afraid to leave.
Well,
there's a picture of a furry on the door and he can't approach it. He's been trapped in your apartment for like the last 9 years.
It's all right, you know.
You move him to place to place. You put him in a box.
You let him out. I feed him. I give him water. It's all good.
Oh shit!
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you there.
Well, no, I had when you were saying that, I had the realization that we're coming up on living together for 10 years.
Yeah,
here very soon because we moved together in 2006.
You should really take him out for a walk.
I tell you, I got one of those self-cleaning litter boxes like 5 years ago, and it's been great.
Awesome. Because cats, man. You know, you're a weird roommate that poops in a box.
But personally, look, this is how you roll, and if you're going to fuck someone, first of all, if it's just a hookup, they're not going to fucking care.
Well, they might turn around and walk out. But yeah.
And if they do, well, then that's they're going to miss out on your freaky sex.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're a long-term relationship, like, or have prospects of being a relationship, then they're going to have to deal with it. So, no, don't take your furry weird shit. Now, I will say, if you've got, like, weird fetishy stuff, like, man, I've got this picture of a giant inflated dragon fucking a car and...
He's waving it around on the tip of his dick, going, "American made, motherfucker," and slamming it onto the roof of a Toyota dealership.
God damn it, Buzz. But yeah, so like that might throw him off. But if it's just regular, plain old vanilla, boring furry porn, nobody who's really into you is going
to
give a shit.
You know how to handle it? You put your hand on the door handle to your bedroom, and you turn to them, and you just say, "My desires are unconventional."
There you go. There you go. All right. Let's read one more email and stop and save.
Okay. I think it's my turn now.
Yeah, sure.
All right. That's right. Yeah, Shiva read that one. Okay, another. Happy 300. Okay. Hello, Notcasters. Fits of let me apologize for any peeling or grammar errors.
Peeling or grammar.
Now, I read that verbatim just so we know what we're getting into here. And I understand he's writing on his phone. Doing this on my phone to be in time for the 300th episode. Congratulations on that, by the way. I just wanted to say thank you for all your years of advice and laughs. It's gotten me through some very tough times in my life. But now that I have your attention, I do have a question. What's a good way to break out of your shell at meets if you're so, I guess...
I think scared, so damn scared.
Yeah, or shy. If you're so damn scared to come off as a creeper or weirdo that you would rather just stay quiet. Lovingly yours from the Queen City, Prism the Barista Fox.
Well, step one is going out into public and attending a meet. Congratulations, you've gotten that far. At that point, you just have to introduce yourself. Be like, "Hi, I'm Prism, the Barista Fox. How do you like your coffee?" "Oh, yeah? Triple soy latte, extra whip? I like that.
I will have a decaf with 2 shots of espresso."
That defeats the purpose. Yeah, I mean...
At which point you launch yourself at my throat with your hands.
Basically, you just need to... You go up and say, introduce yourself, and...
So while there's every possibility that you are a creeper or a weirdo, you don't know that until you try.
And...
So you need to have... You need to give yourself a little self-confidence, even if you just fake it for the first couple of times. Like, tell yourself, "Okay, I'm not a weirdo, apart from that one time with the turtle. I'm not a weirdo, and I can totally do this." And then you just talk up and make some friends. But you know, the point is that you have these concerns about yourself, but.
Spoiler. Like, everybody else does too.
Right. Yeah. Like, there's this whole thing called imposter syndrome that is a very common thing, especially for creative people, that any day now someone will find out that I'm not a professional that knows exactly what he's doing. And I really am just flying by the seat of my pants and making it up as I go along. And, "Oh my God, I don't deserve to be here with all these other artists." You know, that kind of thing. Everybody fucking thinks that.
Yeah.
So it's difficult, but sort of take that worry and just set it aside for a little while and try to relax and maybe do some meditating or something before going to the meet to kind of help you do that. And then just, like Savrin said, introduce yourself, start up a conversation, you know, or listen to the larger conversation going on. And if something that you're interested in or that your knowledge about pops up, you know, you just sort of,
I
know all about the Jews. Let me tell you some shit, you know, and then you're in the conversation and you're ostracized from the community and you're alone forever. But there are still Republican websites that you can go to.
Thank you, Fuzz. Eva, can you top that?
She's like, fuck it, I got nothing.
I got nothing.
She's like, I'm looking at my phone here. There's some hot cat porn.
No, it's just like I just can't.
I cannot even. But you can odd.
What if chat cats had more legs?
Well, you have seen that one pic where it's like chacats with like 20 tits, right?
I think I probably have. They have
like these giant trash bag sized tits, and there's like 20 of them.
I try to pretend that those don't exist. Yeah. Not my just wheelhouse.
Imagining the insane furry artist behind this picture, like I'm going to cover the world in tits and just drawing insanely.
It's like they have, they drag on the ground and they're constantly raw, and it's like,
how? I don't have tits, and that sounds horrible. Yeah.
It's not a good.
That doesn't happen, Savrin, because they're also lactating constantly, which creates a micron thin lactation stream that allows you to glide across pavements and other surfaces without any friction.
Trail.
This is exactly the same technology that allows the Enterprise to travel at warp speed. See, Chakats can travel at warp speed. They will just leave milk everywhere.
Oh my god. No. On that note, we're gonna pause and save, and I'm gonna get a drink.
And if I beat Fuzz, we're at break. If he sounds a little garbled, he's, you know.
I didn't mean to reveal your Chakat secrets.
And we're back.
All right, next email. Well, this is a Tumblr question. And this one's pretty easy, but a little bit more targeted than we can usually answer. Hi, guys. First, I wanted to say that I had just found your show fairly recently, and I'm loving every moment of it. My mate and I moved to Dallas area earlier this year, and we are enjoying the city one day at a time. I wanted to ask if there were any smaller furry meetup groups than just Furry Fiesta to hang out with other furries. By the way, I went to this past Furry Fiesta, and I had a blast, and I can't wait to attend this year. Yours truly, Darthus. Let's see. I think the biggest one outside of Fiesta is going to be AFM. That's the second Sunday every month. It's in a park out in Fort Worth. Arlington, sorry.
Fort Worth now?
It doesn't matter. Anything outside of Dallas is a cesspool.
Yeah, anything outside of Fort Worth, anything in that vague, I have a hard time telling
the
difference.
There's Dallas and then everything else.
That's right.
So it's at S.J. Stovall Park. It's at 11 a.m. on the second Tuesday of
Stovall Core.
Best bet is going to be to hop on Lone Star first. It's a forum where a lot of this stuff is organized. Mm-hmm. And there's information on there.
There's also the Plano Fermi, which I think is in like the third or fourth.
Is that the one that's one of the parks also?
It's also at, I think it's at Arbor Hills Nature Reserve in Plano.
There's an Addison Fermi as well. I think that's still going on.
It's at the Whole Foods. Dober Dog handles organizing and promoting it mostly. I don't remember the date on that. Was it like the first Saturday or Sunday of the month?
So maybe? I need to put it all on the calendar. And there's also a bowling meet that, who puts that on?
I don't know who puts it on. I know Dober goes because I saw him tweet about it.
Yeah, there's also a bowling meet.
So it's the fursuit bowling.
Yeah, and that's fairly regular. There is a bunch. So there's a lot of.
If you want to be social in the furry scene in this area, you can do so very easily.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's, if you ever want to get into no social, you can always look at Fiesta staff, because here's a whole bunch of people who have to do stuff together, and we get together regularly.
Yep.
Yep. Also, the mailing list for Texas is still running. It's the Texas Area Furry Friends, or TAF for short. And every month there is an automated post, which is updated as new information comes in, that is a list of all the cities in Texas. You know, it's broken down by city and what their regular fur meets are. So it's like the ongoing fur meet list.
I should should sign up for that.
I'm not sure how updated Addison and Dallas are at this point, because we had a few to kind of bumping around and everything like that. But you can also check that out, too.
Yeah. So, yes, if you're in Texas, North Texas, and are a furry, you can be social pretty easily. This next email's a trap.
Oh.
I know. It's okay. I'm used to be hated. I'm used to being hated on this subject.
Go for it, Fez.
Oh, you want me to read it? Oh, is it my turn to read? Okay.
It is now.
Okay, it's an anonymous Tumblr question. Dear Notcast, what is your opinions on Therianism, phantom shifts, mental shifts, and all that jazz? Well, my answer is it's all a bunch of bollocks.
The dog's bollocks.
No. There's a very important subtle difference here. Yes, saying something is bollocks is bad. It means it's bullshit. But if you say, now that's the dog's bollocks, that's good. I am not joking.
Oh, I know.
It's a subtle difference. Well, Savrin was giving me a look like you're fucking crazy. I'm like, I am not joking.
There's some slang. I learned something new today. Yes,
it is bollocks. Not the dog's bollocks, although it does involve dog's bollocks if you think that you're a dog, I guess.
Nah, dude. Nah. That's just silly, in my opinion. So, like, if you come up to me and start talking about that, I'm going to look at you funny and be like, oh, excuse me, I think I hear my laundry calling.
Savrin!
It might as well have said, what do you think about Therianism, chemtrails, and Jews did 9/11? I mean, to me, it's all sort of the same thing.
It's very Tumblr.
Even before Tumblr was...
It's been around a long time.
So, I mean, and I've said this on the show before, but to give a little background, I mean, I was aware back in the day, and that was before everyone called it Therianism. It was just being aware, but W-E-R-E. And, like, yes, some of those people are pretty cool. The pretty cool ones usually ended up becoming furries, and I'm still in contact with a couple of them. Some of them are fucking crazy. And there is this old saying that there are no wares over 18 and under 50. Or like all wares are under 18 or over 50 or something. And it's like, it extends into like the mid-20s now. I mean, because I was like 22, 23 at the time. But it really has a lot of people that are sort of like young and finding themselves, and a lot of people with a sense of misanthropy that are like, oh, I just hate humans so much. They're such a disgusting, evil species. I can't possibly be a human. I'm a noble wolf, you know. And yeah, that's a bit of a caricature, but I bet a lot of people like that had that opinion. And it was just, ugh. You know, and part of it's also fueled with me not really being a believer in anything. So I don't really believe in, you know, a soul and stuff like that. So part of that, my personal beliefs, it doesn't fit into my personal belief system. But I really think it's kind of a fantasy. Mm-hmm. And it's probably not healthy to throw yourself into that fantasy in order to escape the reality of, you know, you're not just another boring human. You're a noble, endangered animal or something.
And you're also distancing yourself from the problem rather than working to solve it.
Yeah, I think it's actually better to deal with the reality and make your own life better than to wish you were something else.
That way you can make the person you are into the person you want to be instead of making yourself into this fantasy character.
Yeah, maybe you can help improve the human race. Instead of wishing to throw away your humanity and be something else.
So there's our actually very measured answer.
That's my two cents, or my four paws.
I've never been really part of the were community, so I don't know that much about it.
Me neither, really. I mean, furry to me is just, it's a genre I like. I am not...
It's like, not a... Well, I was going to say it's not a lifestyle for you.
No, I mean, it's like... I have used the name Savrin online since I was 16. So to say that Saverin as a character is an integral part of my personal conception of self is
accurate.
But I'm not a 4 foot 8 foot 4 foot 8 inch tall angry little finnick. Mm-hmm. I am a 5'6" angry human. I'm actually pretty mellow. But you know, that's the thing. It's like it's a character. It is a persona to play around online, or it's just an image, an avatar. It is not, I do not believe myself to be a noble anthrophinic. And then I track down and murder scorpion furries.
And thus began the great mammal insect war.
Yep.
The best, to give Shiva a little bit of background on it, the best description I heard of being aware at the time was that you went looking for your inner child and found a puppy instead.
That works.
And it's a really cute shorthand that, you know, it is very true. It's basically you feel like you're an animal on the inside, as opposed to zoos who want an animal on the inside. So there's a subtle difference there also.
Learn something new again.
Yeah. but yeah, you feel you're an animal on the inside. Some people that take a kind of reincarnation bent to it believe that they were ex animal in a past life, and they're trying to get back to that. So
which gets weird when they're like, I'm a dragon. Lol.
Yeah, and some people think
Let's not even get into otherkin. That's a whole different...
Well, and otherkin are actually very similar but different. Otherkin are just, like, I don't want to say non-real because that's really offensive to them, but, you know, your non-mammalian earth-based species like gargoyles and other things like that.
Angels, dragons, and demons, or planets, or space, or
Pikachu.
Yes. Not even joking. Or, I'm actually a robokin. I'm actually a robot. I'm
not even joking. Like I said, let's not.
I mean, look.
Yeah.
Basically, once you hit your mid-20s, you'll grow out of it. I hope.
I'm a thin kin. I'm really
there's a thin person on the inside that you keep sated with chocolate and cake.
Oh, he was delicious. Anyway.
So yeah, let's move on because I mean, what's our opinion? It's silly. Moving on.
It's bad. You should feel bad. No.
Anonymous asked a question. If you go to an extended family reunion and you meet someone awesome you've never met before and you both trade contact info and later discover you love to do sex RPs, is that okay? I'm asking for a friend.
I have one thing to say. This is a stolen routine. As the famous philosopher Jeff Foxworthy said, going to a family reunion to pick up chicks, you just might be a redneck.
Hey, past the second cousin, it doesn't matter, really. It's barely blood at that point.
Second cousin, time for loving.
Thanks, Fuzz. I mean, how distant is this relative? I mean, seriously. Like, fifth cousin on your uncle's side, who the fuck cares at that point? It's not like you're...
God. God cares.
Well, it's a good thing that we put forth our opinions on that same subject in the prior email. God is not a werewolf, just so you know.
If God is a werewolf, life is a yiff pile. Okay, I'm going to work on my pink parody later.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck are you going on about, Fuzz?
I have no idea.
The pink song, God is a DJ. It's a really good song.
It is.
So, like, I mean, don't bang your cousin, but... If they're a distant family member.
To be fair, I don't think it actually said they were related. I mean.
Well, yeah. And if it's like the friend of an uncle or friend of a cousin, who cares? I mean, it's RP and it's only as weird as you make it, I guess.
Follow up question, not cast. It's an incest RP. Is that still cool?
Whatever floats your.
And it wasn't a second cousin. It was my mom. Is that still cool? This is like the third follow-up.
No.
Okay. No.
Next email.
Denied.
This would be Shiva then, because you read the family reunion one. And I read the Therianthropy one.
So But this one's from A Liger Among Us.
It is a Tumblr.
Hi, I'm somewhat new to the fandom. I've known I was a furry for a while and always loved Anthros. My question is, when feeling out your fursona, what happens if you find your amalgamate of animals? You make a hybrid.
Yep.
There are many of you.
Unless you're an amalgamate from Undertale, then you're a horrifying collection of monsters melted into one.
There's also a couple of those in the fandom, too. I've seen porn.
Oh, Christ. Well, when I'm feeling up my persona, I put my hand under his balls and tell him to turn his head and cough.
But, I mean, you mentioned, okay, well, the guy's thing is a liger. Well, ligers exist in real life. Now, if you're talking about, like, the liger from Napoleon Dynamite, who are bred for their skills in magic, then, you know, whatever, float your boat. But that's a reference, kids. That movie came out a long time ago, really.
It did, yeah, it did, yeah. Probably before most of our listeners were born.
That's terrifying to think about, Fuzz. That came out in the early 2000s.
Oh, God. I didn't even realize it was that recent. I thought it was like the 90s or something.
No.
Yeah, you can make, you know, there's a couple different answers to this, actually. Some people do hybrids, you know, is where you get things like fulfs and, you know, stuff like
Fuskies.
That. Huskies, and basically you can mix anything with a fox.
Or if you have, like, well, yeah.
The other thing you can do is you can have multiple characters.
2004.
Shit. Okay. All right. All our listeners are 10-year-olds. That's great because we're 12-year-old frat boys anyway. So, you know, that review was multiple years ago, so we've got to be like 16-year-old frat boys now or something.
Yeah. You know, if we're 14-year-old frat boys, you know, we're doing really well because we've made it to college. Just saying.
That's right.
Just texted me saying that now he curses me for stopping at chapter 7 of his book. I finished his book. Did not all the files make it to him?
I sent him the files I had on my Dropbox. Let me double check here in just a second. But yeah, to sum up what I was saying, I mean, you can also have multiple characters. Some people do that.
Yeah.
You know, where they commission art of a bunch of different characters, like, oh, this is my slutty side.
Or sometimes you make up my shit, Jedi like Chuckats.
Yeah. What's like, you know, I've got friends that have like 5 or 6 different characters they roleplay as. Or, and then there's people like me whose persona is a character they made a long time ago that means, you know, that they like and they run with.
Yeah, I only have 7 chapters in the Dropbox.
Oh, well, I have all of it done.
I didn't question it because I couldn't remember how many chapters were in.
It's like 13.
Okay, yeah, so he's only got 7 of them.
Weird, because I know I finished that book. Anyways, there's lots of fucking in it. So, basically, there aren't really rules on fursonas. Whatever works for you, and the more complex your character is, the more expensive it is to get art of it. Okay. So, I will read this email.
Okay.
Hey.
I'm just texting Tyrion back.
That's a cool looking pic the dude drew and included.
Hello, text message.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right. So, this one's titled Finding Family. Neat. Good evening, yes. Great and wise sages of the Knot. I had wrote into your Tumblr ask earlier in the week and thought it'd be better to write a full email.
You know, I recognized the name. I was like, didn't we get a thing from him? Okay,
yep.
Cool.
First, I wanted to say that I have, well, watched the fandom from the side since 2001 and I'm 27, having been to some cons, which includes FWA and TFF this past year. At FWA, I visited some friends I made the previous year, and at TFF, I went solo and made a few friends, but none I really keep up with. I want to be more active in the furry community. However, I don't feel comfortable going through FA or leaving comments or anything of the like. I prefer to have my relationships with my friends to be more tactile and present. I treat my friends like my family. Well, to be honest, my friends are my family, since my dad was never really in the picture and my mother had passed away when I was but a cub. Don't feel too sad. I have a mate and we've been together over 5 years now. His family has accepted me into their loving embrace, but for me, it's not what I'm looking for at the moment. My mate and I moved to the Dallas area early this year when I first came here in January to work for Texas Instruments, and OTA makes way more things than calculators.
Oh yeah, we know.
Then my mate followed me here in late March, but now he works for the city of Irving. Ever since we came here, it has been fun and full of adventures, now for my reason for writing in. I wanted to know if there were any furry groups aside from the massive cons in the DFW area.
Just rewind.
Yep. On the other note, I've been listening to the podcast for just a short time. I love every minute of the show. I've been listening to older episodes back to back, and will get a serious case of the giggles when my guild, which then my guild while raiding will think I've lost my mind more than I already have. You guys are awesome, and I hope the show keeps going strong for another 300 episodes and beyond. Your ever grateful Leolf Darthus.
Do my ears twitch? Do I detect another WoW player?
Quite possibly. It's like, no, he's raiding 24-man World of Darkness in Final Fantasy 14.
Well,
if
you do play WoW, reply back with your Battle.net. I'll add you, because I'm always looking for
WoW friends. Yay!
WoWers, WoW friends.
Yeah,
poor Tyrion.
He's like, you only gave me the first 7 chapters. There's like 13. He has a case of audiobook blue balls. So I think I will stop and pause the after this, and we're gonna make sure that he gets those files, because he's gotta have that book. So he sent us a Tumblr question, we answered that, and then he sent us a picture of his fursona, and it's actually pretty cool looking. Whoever did the art is pretty skilled. They'd say Leolf, so a lion wolf.
Yay.
Speaking of hybrids.
Yep.
Watch your foot, I don't want to run over you.
And then we make a sudden trip to the ER.
Yes.
Yeah. Not that you can do much, but you know.
Okay.
So was that Tyrion?
That was Tyrion. He was just asking about the files. He has a certain folder on Dropbox that like automatically uploads to his phone. So if when I go home, I put the files in there. He won't have to dick around with the export function on the Dropbox app.
I'll find the files, because I made review versions of everything.
So find the files, Dropbox them to me, and then let me know when they're ready. And when I'm home, I'll transfer them to
his... I'll get it done for you, Leave.
Okay, cool.
It sounds like he's enjoying it.
Good. Yeah, and he's still... It's 10:35, and he's still driving to MFF. And he always said Mephit.
Driving to Mephit, and he started at 4 a.m. today. He got lost.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, he says, well, it's a great recording, very fun to listen to. So,
yay!
When one of your fellow podcasters' other half start texting you about, why didn't you give me the rest of your book? It's a good sign.
Yeah, I just could have sworn I had all the files for review. Like, I think what happened is, like, there's... like a zip somewhere, because I actually like went through, and I'm pretty sure I edited them all,
mm-hmm.
or if anything, I made versions of them for review, and then, anyways, I'll get the files,
because all the files say for review or review in the file name, so you probably did do
I did the extra copy. The processing, but I didn't like do the pinpoint editing. Anyways, email.
Okay, all right. Subject line.
Sorry, I'm starting to really fade.
Yep.
You want to make this our last one? It's already 10:30, and we've got...
There's very few emails left, I know.
There's 5. It's like another hour.
Let's try and get through them quick so we can clear the box.
Excuse me. Okay, a question for the podcast. Kind of a long, carefully written inset in the body, because I don't want to spook anyone with mysterious attachments. Okay?
Mysterious attachments? Those are fun.
Speaking of hybrids, good morning, probably evening, notcasters. I'm a newly minted fan of the show, having been aware of your presence for quite a while, but I'm sad to say, never having taken the time to listen in until around about 2 weeks ago. No problem, it's never too late to start. Since then, I've been steadily working my way back through the archives on my way to and from work. Oh, God. I've even stopped taking the interstate to get in a little more show driving during transit. Oh, God. With that in mind, I apologize if you've answered this kind of question before, but at my current rate, it looks like it'll be a good 8 months or so before I get through the whole archive, and I've got a pertinent situation that will have gone sour by then, most likely if not addressed in a timely manner. On to the issue proper. A little background. As a straight monogamous male fox, a unicorn in this fandom, actually, I find myself to be a bit of a statistical anomaly. I tend to enjoy being anomalous, so in general, this isn't much of a problem. Online, I am the occasional recipient of an out-of-the-blue petition of a certain sort that I'm sure you're familiar with, which typically I respond to by stating that I am both flattered and married. This usually goes well. The other party and I have a little chuckle, sometimes chat a bit, and go our separate ways. However, I'm having a little more trouble with a similar but considerably more delicate situation. I met someone online who I quite like talking with, and we've been having very enjoyable chats for a bit now about all sorts of things. The crux of the issue is we've gotten to be friends, and he's starting, I think, to probe into the possibility of a more adult kind of relationship, a notable uptick in the use of affectionate paws, purring, and the like. This presents three issues for me. One, I want to continue being friends with this person, so I want to diffuse the situation gently with as little awkwardness as possible. Two, I want to resolve it promptly because I don't want to seem like I'm leading him on, only to come out later saying no. And three, I think he's getting flirty, but he might just be being friendly affectionate, and I don't want to be presumptuous. Basically, I want to veer the situation away from anything remotely sexual while not coming across as a dick, either by making assumptions about his intentions or, if he is feeling out those waters, being too harsh in my response. Thoughts, VV. P.S. I know it's fairly long, but I very carefully proofread and spell-checked this letter, so hopefully it's reasonably pleasant to read.
I will happily say that this is one of the better written ones that we've received. It's very clear, very well written.
Yes. And it's straight to the point without, like, diverging into unnecessary detail. And, you know, it definitely provides all the information without beleaguering the point too much.
It is a delicate subject, and I've been there myself. Without seeing any of this discussions, it's hard to make a call. Most I would say is, well, one, you're right. Don't let it go on if you think it's starting to trend down that path. You don't want to draw something out and, like you said, lead somebody on.
You might drop in some commentary on how you like girls or you like this particular piece of art or something like that, or that you have a girlfriend or wife or something.
Yeah, start mentioning significant others and your particular tilt to sexuality, how you're monogamous, you know, and basically start dropping hints. If he keeps it up, it may come down to just kind of saying, hey, you know, I mean, it might come down to just saying it, and don't be harsh about it. You know, you phrased it very well right here.
Yeah.
And just saying, hey, I really like you as a person, but you know, I am straight and I don't, you know, straight and monogamous and married. I don't want to lead you on. If you're just being flirty, that's cool, you know, but I can't go any further than this. And this is even a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, I can see why this is part of a problem, too, because furries do tend to be a little bit more friendly and touchy-feely than would be commonly accepted in, like, the mainstream. Probably shouldn't put your phone right on the recording wires. Just
yeah, it's like, I heard this, like...
Suddenly sparks flying everywhere and all the interfaces are exploding.
It's just like the console room in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
It's like, I bumped into something...
The next one is just for you, Fuzz, so we can skip it on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I thought I archived that. Anyway, it's ridiculous anyway, because like, it's part one of two. He doesn't give the second part, and I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. So
he didn't give a name, so.
Right.
All right, so I think it's my time.
It can be. Of the Chakat.
The time is nigh.
The name of the Chakat.
The time is Mew.
Do the casters think that Zootopia is being overhyped by the fandom as the next big furry film, or are you actually looking forward to it? Personally, I'm psyched. The latest trailer had me in stitches, agonizingly slow but hilarious stitches. I'm really looking forward to it. I don't think it's overhyped. I think it looks cute.
Insert 20-minute discussion of, oh my god, how awesome does Zootopia look?
It made me giggle a lot.
Fucking, like... toothy laugh face on Nick and
just the character designs and like they're
playing off all the cartoon stereotypes.
Yeah, there's been like some concept art of like, oh, what was it, the underground thing for the rodents?
Yeah,
The underground rail system, and it's just, oh my god. The other thing they released was like this, the concept art that showed like the sketch color drawings of the characters all and then underneath them. their CG rendered versions in the
and
same
Finnick
pose.
And Finnick is so tiny and angry.
With those giant sunglasses.
Now, yes. I don't really think it's being overhyped by the fandom. I think it's just that this movie is right up our alley. And we're really going to embrace it. And
it's,
you know,
and it's cute and funny what I've seen it. It's not just for characters. It's actually really hilariously funny.
Yeah. And you know, I think if our community embraces this film in a positive way, you know, just as furry is sort of becoming more mainstream accepted and such, I think that's a good thing. And I mean, we might consider like reaching out to some of the people, the directors or writers of this film at some of our larger cons, maybe having them come in as guests or something. Because, like, I mean, Don Bluth was at FC years ago as a guest, so it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. But I think this is a really good opportunity for us to enjoy a great furry film and maybe put our best foot forward as a community.
Our best paw forward.
Yes.
And there's going to be so much porn of it.
Yeah,
there already is. So let me relate this story. It's like everyone on Twitter has probably seen this, but I don't know how widely known it is. But people were tweeting around link to there was a change.org petition, I believe is what it was, about stop drawing porn of Zootopia. It's disgusting. It's a kid's film. What the fuck are you doing? And a bunch of people signed it. And then the update to it was, I actually saw some of the porn and it's pretty hot.
Petition canceled.
Keep it up. Clearly a troll thing, but I thought it was fucking hilarious.
I mean, it looks like it's hitting a lot of good notes. And like the gag scene where it's like they go to the DMV and it's all like run by sloths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you implying that because he's a sloth, he can't be fast? Like they actually made a that's racist joke. What are you laughing about?
Oh, just next
is
email.
Is the next email? Okay,
yes, and creative spelling of my name.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think I remember seeing this when I was like flipping through stuff. Who is it? Saverin's turn.
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
All right. Hey guys. First, I'm sorry if there's any spelling mistakes, grammar, and such. It's not my strong side. My phone spelling sucks. Second, I'm on. Then second, I'm so sorry if Shiva gets this email due to maybe being a little long.
Luckily, there's no actual Shiva on the cast.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, again, it's probably auto-corrected.
I know.
Anyways,
it's just...
I've been a long-time listener, first-time writer. So I guess I should start off with some background. I'm a Finnick Fox, just turned 21, and a pretty big fur. Anyway, I'm transgender, female to male, and when I was younger, it was easy for me to date. However, now I'm finding it really hard to date. I'm really starting to think it's because I'm transgender and starting to feel pretty bad about myself. I know I'm young, but as I'm searching for someone to start building my life with, it's like a barrier with anyone I start talking to. I guess I should explain that more. Well, you see, for me, being transgender is something medical, like hormones, doctors said, are really has a very medical route. So in all, I don't really tell many people, because who else meets people by saying, hey, I'm a guy, but I don't have a penis. But don't worry, I'm on the waiting list for it. I have found, though, when not doing so, I can sometimes have some bad reactions. I've had best friends leave me and was almost expelled from school because a longtime friend was now scared I was going to rape them.
Okay.
What? Wow. It's also super personal, so being an introvert, it takes a bit to get out. It's almost like being a boy, but not having all the things boys have necessarily makes me sort of broken or not all the way put together. I'm going to reread that sentence. It's also super personal, so being an introvert, it takes a bit to get out. It's almost like being a boy, but not having all the things boys have necessarily makes me sort of broken or not all the way put together. Okay. I wanted to make sure I was getting the right gist from that sentence.
Okay.
So, in all, this makes relationships a little complicated, which is why I'm emailing you all. As I'm searching for a life mate now, or a mate in general, I'm finding it quite hard. I've been more open with putting it up freely on websites, but I'm still finding myself having moments with people where we meet online and still think I'm completely male, so I just end up in that moment of coming out and usually having bad reactions of, you lied to me! I just feel like I'm in this relationship rut and not sure how to get out of it. It seems just to be a repeat of events, and I was just wondering if y'all had any advice. Much love and thanks, smiley face, Enoch Fox.
Okay, so, yeah, it is rough. I think, honestly, dating in furry fandom, I mean, when it comes to fandoms, furries are some of the most open-minded folks that are accepting of all kinds of physiological configurations that the human body can come in. And yeah, dating websites out in Normie Town, you know, there's so much weirdness that goes out there for trans folks.
Yeah.
Normie Town. Population, everyone but you.
No, I don't count myself in that.
None of us are normies, but I just love the fact that really we use that phrase a lot. And I think of the normies get out. It's the screaming frog. Anyways, so in the furry community, so we're very biased towards cis dudes for the most part.
Yeah.
So a transgender individual, female to male, in this case, is an outlier. I mean, trans folks in general are a bit of an outlier in anywhere you go, but in a very heavily male biased fandom like furry, it's still like 80-20, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's still pretty biased towards dudes. You're gonna find folks that are either gay and are looking for a cis male partner, or are straight women who are looking for a cis male partner. And so it's kind of like, I understand your struggle here. I get what the problem is.
It's good, because I was getting my bitch quill and glove on.
No. Look, I've been pretty open with the whole, like, I don't get it, but I get the struggle. Putting it out there. And it also matters, like, who you like, right?
Yeah.
You know, are you looking for a cis male partner? Are you looking for a cis female partner? Are you looking for another transgender person?
Does it not matter what's under the hood?
I mean, because for you, that matters just as much as what they're looking for, too. So, I mean, it kind of helps focusing, because, like, oh, man, it just seems like, I mean, like, I'm reading this and I'm like, fuck, I definitely feel for them because they got a real limited pool here.
But as a word of, like, encouragement, just speaking from my own personal taste, I find trans men just as attractive as regular men, just as attractive as trans women, just as attractive as cis women. There are, and I'm not alone. A lot of us that have, I hate to say it, but there's been some pushback from the trans community about people who are attracted to people who are not necessarily one binary presentation, or who have alternative configurations of physiology. And we've gotten kind of some flack about, hey, you think that we're just
appropriating trans culture? Is that a thing?
No.
Fetishizing.
You think that we're, and it, we get, our attractions are played off as we're treating trans people as being fetish, when it's like I find blonde women attractive. It's just another thing that may make me tilt my head at one person more than another.
Excuse me.
Heard this groan of despair.
I don't know if the mics actually picked that up.
That was just my stomach making noise. That sometimes. Sorry.
So my point of this is that there are people like me out there. I've spoken with many of them who do find all kinds of configurations attractive. Just keep in mind that we've gotten pushed back as well from the trans community. So we have to be kind of careful about speaking up that, that's cool, because we've been slapped down too. So it's kind of this weird dance around the whole subject. You can't be too into it, but you have to be okay with it, but you can't be too gung-ho.
So look for people that claim to be polysexual.
No.
Well,
I'm serious. Am I using the right term?
Pansexual?
Pansexual, yes, thank you. I guess polysexual would be having multiple sexualities at the same time. Pansexual, yeah. So, like, sort of implying that they don't mind, or it's not a deal killer if someone is not cis, one or the other.
I would say that try to find somebody who's cool with you.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily care what's under the hood, because they really dig you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a certain individual whom I know. She is trans. I think she's cool as shit. I would totally fuck her. But I wouldn't because I'm her boss. And I can't do that. But, you know, that's it's you got to like, you know, if you got to find someone who likes you for you. Mm-hmm. And then it should be a lot less of an issue. I mean, well, I know that seems stupid and simplistic, but I don't know what else to say.
Now, to say that there is some caveats to that.
Of course.
If someone's far away on the side of the Kinsey scale and discovers that equipments may not jive with expectations, there can be a break.
Yeah, I mean, they gender neutral. They're putting it out there. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm just stumbling all over the place here because I'm just like,
you're like, I don't know, chicks, dudes, and one thing going into another thing.
Everybody's got a butt. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. See, you're accepting my life philosophy. It's so much easier. Don't care what's between your legs. It's what's between your cheeks that really counts.
Everybody's got a butt.
And your heart.
Well, if your heart's down there, you've got some problems.
I know how to palpitate this heart. So yay, that splattering of information. I mean, that was our gender fluid going everywhere.
I guess the end result is don't get too discouraged.
I mean,
stick with it. Ignore the haters. I actually think Saverin had the best point of view of just sort of finding someone that's interested in you, you know, and a lot of times the rest will come naturally because, I mean, I've actually read several stories about how guy and a girl are together for many years. They get married. One has the realization that they're transgender and they want to make the shift. And the other one sticks by them and stays married.
That's what happened to my best friend. Her wife was originally not wife.
Yeah.
And they stayed together even through transition.
And in a case like that, like the gender of your partner didn't matter for that person. You know, you stuck by them because they loved the person that they were, and whether the out, you know, whether they were male or female, you know, it was really their heart and mind that they were in love with.
Yeah.
And there's several cases like that. There's folks that I know in person that have been through that. There's also other more famous stories out there that shows like This American Life and stuff have covered that, you know, this kind of thing happens. But yeah, finding someone to be in a relationship like that, I mean, do the friend thing first, you know, like you've been doing. I think being open and honest about it is a good idea. And just making friends and then seeing if it takes, like falling in love with anyone, really seeing if it ends up going to the next level or not.
Yeah. So I hope it didn't fuck it up too badly. That's one of those. Again, you're young. You're 21. You've got plenty of time.
You'll find someone. And luckily, transgender is now on the cusp of the big social movement that being homosexual was about 20, 25 years ago, yeah. Where
it's not, you're becoming, not as big a deal.
Well, it's still a big deal, but they're in the position now where they're becoming known to the mainstream world and the mainstream culture. Like, they're not completely overshadowed by the umbrella of gay culture overall. And now more trans people are becoming more well known. And, you know, whether lover or hater, I know she's gotten flack in the transgender community, but Caitlyn Jenner kind of made a big splash.
Yep.
You know, she's currently the most famous transgender person in the world, I would say.
I don't know. Laverne Cox is
Laverne Cox there. Is, you know, she was on Orange is the New Black, right?
Who?
Yep. Laverne Cox.
She's an actress. Oh,
okay. Sorry. I'm not familiar with her. I'm just, and you know, and I wasn't familiar with Bruce Jenner as an athlete before.
But now.
But I'm only familiar with Caitlyn Jenner because was everywhere. All over Twitter and stuff like that. Yeah, I haven't heard of the other lady. So. But so I think you're sort of lucky in a way to be young and at the beginning of your journey during a time in history where your people are becoming more well known, and that I think things are going to start changing for the transgender community, and they're going to start changing for the better. And I read about it every other day, and I'm seeing more and more companies are like covering medical services related to transitioning, either hormones or surgery or whatever route you go to. So there's a lot more support, even in things like medical insurance and stuff like that, that would have been unheard of 40, 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think things are going to get a lot better, and you'll be fine. You'll find somebody, and you'll be happy.
Okay. Last email. It's really short. New fur. Not sure if the show is even for this, but I'll give it a shot. I'm a new fur, and I'm having trouble getting into the community. I have an FA, so furry account, etc. But I don't really use them a lot. Any ideas how I get deeper into the community? Someone. P.S. This is written on a phone at 3 a.m., so I hope it turned out well.
We've got to go deeper.
So you have accounts. Use them. Make comments. Participate in discussion threads. Don't be a jerk. Follow people on Twitter. There's lots of furries on Twitter you can talk to.
Yeah, furry Twitter is fucking huge.
Like, I recently went on a big follow spree on my furry account, at Severn Drake, and was like, hey, new people to interact with. Because there's lots and lots of furries on Twitter.
And Google your local furry groups, like in person. Yep. Look for a local board. Look for an interest group for if you've got a sub one, like, I don't know, trains or tours.
Oh,
or...
get on Telegram, because apparently every fucking furry and their mother is on Telegram.
I need to fucking download Telegram, and because, like, one of my friends out in NorCal, she's like, yo, I started a gay furry Telegram group. And I'm like, fuck, I need to just get in on this.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, yaff yaff motherfuckers, what's up?
And then, like, your fucking doctor is like, hey, I saw you on Telegram, Saverin, air quotes. That's my only problem with Telegram, is getting around the whole now everybody that has your phone number knows you're on it kind of thing.
Most of the people that have my telephone number are way too old to...
Yeah, and most of my people that I have on my phone are furry anyway. So
yeah.
I'm a pretty public furry at this point.
Your public furry number one, face on wanted posters, ass on the other side because you're authentic.
Totally. Have you seen this butt? I bet you have. All right, so let's wrap this up because it is
one of your defining characteristics is anal circumference. I think we talked
this
about
this isn't fatal. So it is 11 o'clock. We're gonna wrap this shit up. All right,
so we will see you in January.
Yes,
on the 21st.
And we will want your exciting stories of Midwest Fur Fest, Christmas, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, fucking Arbor
Waking
Day.
Waking up on somebody's
lawn,
I don't know.
Yeah,
don't freeze to death.
You know, the party fest that is Martin Luther King Day weekend. Woo!
Yeah. Get that mattress sale on.
Actually, it's the weekend of FC is always an okay weekend. But.
Oh, all right. You can always
that mattress sale. Fucking Fennec going right to the bed.
Yep, 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 yep.
I wasn't even thinking that.
I know, but I was like, bam. I can make a Fox joke. I'm in there, lubricated with jacket milk.
What? There we go. All right. You can email us at notcast@foxsefers.com. You can find us on Twitter, FA, all sorts of places.
Patreon.
I was going to bring that
Tumblr.
Up. Yeah. You can find us on Twitter at notcast. You can find us on Patreon.
GeoCities.
Check out our
Angel Fire.
Man, we got some fucking
Tripod.
We got some fucking pimp ass spinning flaming skull gifs, some explosions, a little like. Under
construction
sign. Check out this sick ass bar. It drips blood.
Search for us on Lycos.
Oh man,
we're an internet keyword on AOL.
Web crawler. alt.binaries.notcast.
You could look up our audio show on Links. You won't get much out of it, but what the fuck.
So yeah, we're really old. We do have a Patreon. If you guys like to support the show, we'd really appreciate it. There's good handful of y'all, and we really do appreciate it, every last one of you guys. And hey, right now we're really cheap because we're only doing like one or two shows a month because the holidays. On that note,
good night
and see you next year.
Adios.